Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soaring with the Eagles in Leadership and Excellence with your host, Misty P. Long, Director of Devoted to Him Ministries. Devoted to Him Ministries is committed to winning the lost and building up the body of Christ through broadcasting the Word of God with fire, faith, and power, teaching all nations and lifting up the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today's message is designed to help you grow in every area of your being. Through the devoted lifestyle, we can all win. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. James 5:16. And now, Devoted to Him Ministries founder, Misty P. Long.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. In fact, I guess I should say good afternoon because we are at the top of the hour. It is high noon Central Standard Time. And I'll tell you, greetings from Devoted to Him Global Ministries Incorporated and Misty Long and our entire team. We are so excited to have you joining us today. We are just full of the Spirit and full of God's joy. He's blessed us with a guest today who's a very exciting person and someone who is being used by the Lord in a tremendous way, a very influential person, an impactful person who I know that we're going to learn from. And when we walk away, we're all going to feel that it's been an hour that's well spent. So I am just raring to go. And, you know, normally I like to write out my introduction because I like everything kind of neat and tidy and orderly, though I usually get disorderly for it's all over. But anyway, today I just really couldn't write anything down in advance. We had this person, and by the way, it is award-winning author and illustrator Ebony Moore. We just had her a couple of months ago back in January, and it was a fantastic interview. And, of course, I was thrilled in the introduction to that show to go in-depth and in detail about how I know Ebony. I'm not sure her and her sister Kenya were thrilled about it, but I was glad to tell all the details. I'm not going to do that today. If you want to know all the details of how I personally know this current and emerging business mogul, you'll have to listen to the January 17th episode. But indeed, she is someone who has not lived a life of entitlement, a life of privilege, a life of pridefulness, but someone who's lived a very humble life, who has allowed God to exalt her. So and she is anointed and she is on fire for the Lord, and she does move prophetically in God's spirit. So we're getting ready to hear from Ebony. I have questions for her, and she is prepared to talk with us today. And I want you to know that you're welcome. If we start talking and your interest gets piqued, or there's something we're discussing where you think you want to ask a question, you're more than welcome to do that. You know me, I'm never at a loss for words, so I will be plowing right ahead. And this will be available in archives. So if you only get part of it today or you miss it for some reason, that's okay, because this will be forever in our library where you can always go listen to it. You may want to listen to it more than once. And the link is on Facebook. The link is on Twitter right now. And I have instructions in both of those places where you can also call in and by phone and just listen on your phone in privacy. In fact, I'll give that number right now. 347 is the area code, 637-3970, 347-637-3970. And if you decide you do want to speak up, you can, the automated voice will let you know. You can click the option 1 and you can actually come in, and I will try to, you know, get to who I can get to. I'll see that you're on here, and when we have a pause or so forth, we'll be glad to hear what you have to say. Okay, well, praise the Lord. Well, Ebony, why don't you go ahead and just briefly introduce yourself and greet the audience. Say hello to the audience, and then we'll get started.
Okay, thank you, Misty. First, I do want to thank you for actually just having me on your show. I really appreciate it. I know that there's some people out there that are wondering about, you know, how to start their own business and you know, how to write a book, how to start and complete it. And a lot of people are asking me, you know, what do I do? So I just appreciate it anytime, you know, someone lets me come on their radio show and share that information. And then for the audience, my name is Ebony Moore. Of course, I write books and illustrate children's books. I've been doing it for about 10 years or so. I'm self-taught. I had a dream, just wanted to be an author all my life and knew I was going to do it and just went for it. So I'm happy to be here today. I hope that somebody hears this call today and that it blesses you, that it, you know, propels you to get up, you know, and begin to move in purpose. And so.
Amen. Amen. So our topic today is helping people through reading and writing. And I know a couple of months ago our topic was talking about the dream, you know, dream it and do it. And that was so dynamic. And it's great to talk to someone who is not just theoretic about that, you know.
but you truly dream
and do daily, yes. And then, yes, this was on our heart today, helping, because this is another aspect of who you are. You are a dynamic doer, okay? But we know the core of the woman, Ebony Moore, is helping people. So our topic today is this aspect, helping people through reading and writing. And, of course, our key verse is Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ebony,
Amen.
Let me ask you this in getting started. Well, one thing I'd like to ask before we even do that, well, let's go with this. How do you build a global business from scratch?
How do you build a global business from scratch? That's like the award-winning question. you know, first before I start, I do want to say everybody that you, if you know, if you when you're listening, you can go to my website even while we're talking. Not if you're coming through Blog Talk Radio, but my website is MayaKids.com. So it's www.MayaKids.com. And so if some of you may know me, and for those of you who don't, you can always go to my website and look at what I do. Some of what I do later on. But you did ask me, how do I build a global business? How do you do that? The first thing you got to do is find out, you know, what is your purpose? Like, what do you want your business to be about? It's so important to sit down and brainstorm because the thing is, God made us where we can literally do anything. We can do anything we put our minds to. He's given us that power. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So a lot of times, Misty, you just have to, we have to sit down and get to a table somewhere in a quiet place and just begin to sit down and brainstorm. Okay, this is the type of business I want. So, for instance, if it's, you know, you may want to open up a retail store. Well, what are you going to sell? What kind of items are you going to sell? Who's your target? Who are you going to sell these items to? And so questions like that, if you could sit down and just kind of answer those questions, it will begin to lead you in the right direction. The biggest problem is when we think about something and think, oh, I could do this, and I could start this, and I could write this book, and then, but we never do it. You know, otherwise, you know, when we do that, it just becomes a, you know, it's just a dream, a thought. So the first thing we need to do, you know, especially if you're talking about a global business that's going to go all over the world, you better make sure that the business that you're creating is something that you love to do, because you're going to have to put the work in. And then network. You cannot have a global business without networking. You've got to find people who know a little bit about what it is you're trying to do, even if they don't have the same similar product or if they're not making books. Find somebody who's successful, who's doing something similar to what you're doing, and pattern after what they do. And so, you know, like I said, those are the first steps in creating a global business, you know, because as you walk, basically what I'm saying is that these things will, like, come to you. As you walk and you meet new people and you network with new people, you find out new things. But those steps are very important. First, sitting down, just you have to sit down and brainstorm what you're going to do. That's important in anything you do.
Yes, ma'am. Now, I know, and we talked about this last time, you know, this whole thing with writing is not something that you just started stepping out 10 years ago, but as a little girl you had in your mind about writing. And even in your elementary years, middle school, high school, you had an inkling that this was your destiny. But as far as this whole global part, did you know as a little girl, were you thinking global? Probably not. You were just thinking a writing buzz, right? So, in fact, even when you started 10 years ago, did you originally have in your mind, well, hey, I just want to write here in my community here in Tulsa? By the way, she's a Tulsa native. She lives in Dallas now, but she's, for all you Tulsa natives out there, feel proud. She's a Tulsa native. But, hey, Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, even then, 10 years ago, were you thinking at that scale, or as things grew, you suddenly realized, wow, the Lord wants me to go global with this, or have you always known it would be worldwide? Ebony? Hello?
Hey, Misty?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, well, no, this is Kashana. I can hear you.
Yeah, but neither one of us can hear Ebony.
Yeah.
Are you
correct.
Able to hear Ebony? Huh?
I am not. I'm not able to hear Ebony.
Okay, here's Ebony. She's back in with us 1 second.
Hear me now?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I am back. I got to talking about Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it got so hyped my phone hung up. So there you go.
The place,
my city, where we come from. But you were asking me about, if I always knew it would be global. You know what, Misty, I remember, and I tell this story all the time about my mom. I just knew when I was 5. I promise I heard something say, you're going to be an author. Of course, now I know that was God. But I was 5 years old, and I remember I wanted to be this big novelist, you know, I kept telling my mom, I'm gonna write a book. I'm gonna be a novelist. I didn't even know what that stuff was, but it just was what I was called for. And my mom, she said, well, why don't you start with children's books? And so, funny thing, I grew up because, you know, our parents tell us stuff all the time, and we think we're grown, so we don't always listen. But I did write a novel, and it's so funny because I wrote one novel, and I've been writing children's books ever since. And I got about 40 children's books. So I listened to what my mom said, finally. But I just always knew. I'm making jokes, and I'm talking about, that conversation with my mom, and because I just remember it so vividly at 5 years old. But I think then I knew, the whole thing about writing, it wasn't just about the writing. It was about I had a voice, and writing is a way of communication, and any type of media, that's communication. And whatever it was God was saying through me at that time and in my spirit, I knew that writing was the way I was going to be able to communicate that and get that out. So I think more than anything, it's about having a voice and, just writing so that my voice can be heard. And so that's what I always knew. And so throughout my, like you said, when I was in elementary and in middle school, I always wrote and, tried to enter the contest and things like that. It really wasn't until I graduated, I finally decided, you know what, I'm going to sit down and write this book. I'm going to sit down and write the novel, that I told you I wrote. It's called In the Fire, The Beginning. But I sat down and finally wrote the book. I just made a decision. Okay, I know I'm called to do this, so let me just sit down and do it. And it didn't matter what anybody said, thought, or how they felt about it. It was just something I knew I had to do. So here I am.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A living testimony. Hallelujah. Like we said in January, dream it and do it. Do it. And we all dream. Even if you don't like to dream, you dream. God made us dreamers, okay? Everybody
dreams. Exactly.
But everybody doesn't do it.
Right.
So praise the Lord. Amen. Well, hey, I want to introduce our sister, Kashana. I was going to wait till later until we had official question time. But she's eager and supportive. Kashana was here at the beginning of the thing. And you know what, Ebony, when I lost you, and I was heartbroken, but then Kashana spoke up, and I thought to myself, well, you know what? That's Ebony's partner there. Kashana's one of her partners. If Ebony doesn't come back, I'm going to interview Kashana about Maya. I was ready to go. Kashana, I'm sure you came with a question, and if you want to just say a little bit of an introduction of yourself or how you came to know Maya, became a partner and affiliate, well, why don't you briefly tell us about who you are?
Wow. Thank you so much. I've known Ebony for quite some time now. Met her well long ago in high school. And, yeah, she did from the beginning. She always knew that she would be a writer. We actually said we would write together. And mine still has yet to come to fruition, but I am very, very glad that she actually took the vision that God gave her and just ran with it. Completely ran with it. So I'm very supportive of her. We already know Maya Kids is definitely global. There's many more homes to be reached, and I'm just here to help out, just to, you know, get the word out for her, with her, along with yourself, Misty, and then some other wonderful partners that Ebony has for Maya Kids.
Amen.
Yeah, God is just so good. He really is. So, you know, I know as far as question time, I know it's not Q&A yet, but
sure,
there's
ahead.
So many people that have a voice that needs to be heard, and they have yet to step out. So I know mine is, you know, in the works, so I'm not worried about me. But for those people out there, how do you speak to the fear that people harbor in their heart and help them to get their books out, you know, whether it be children's writing or the novels or, you know, like you spoke earlier, Ebony, and you said that you didn't worry about what people thought or what they said. So how does one develop that type of, you know, acumen so they can go for it?
Wow, thank you, Kashana. And, you know, thank you. That's a great question. I feel that one all up in my spirit and through my toes and everything right now. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But I do want to thank you. You are a great partner, Kashana. You've been very helpful in everything. And just believing in Maya Kids. And there's a lot of people that come from, you know, different places, and they're saying, hey, you know, what can I do to help? Because I see what you're doing, and it's for a great cause. It's helping the kids, helping communities. And so I just want to take the time to thank both you and Misty for the help that you do for Maya Kids. But let's go back to your question, because that is the number one kicker. That's the fear is the reason why people never ever start. People are so afraid, and I've been like this too. They're so afraid of rejection. What if I write this and nobody likes it? What if I draw this and nobody likes it? What if I have this product and nobody likes it and nobody buys it? This is the thing. The what if, as long as you have that what if mentality and you're thinking about all the things that could go wrong, then you're missing what could go right. And so, because we never know when we're going to write that next bestseller, we never know when we're going to have that next product that's in Walmart. We never know. So if we don't try. So I think the key to getting over that fear, the first thing you have to do, and I'm going to tell you what sends fear running out the door, it'll send it running down the street, it'll send it running out of your city, running out of your state, is if you sit and make your mind up, this is what I'm going to do. And that this is the principle that I have lived by. Of course, God's word, it says, you know, he hasn't given us that spirit of fear. And I went through a period of time in my life where I had to really study that scripture and just kind of, you know, hear it all the time. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So I had to study all the time. But fear is not God's spirit. And so whenever we realize that we're doing something, we're not moving because of fear. When you get ready to knock that thing out in a ballpark, you're going to make your mind up and say, listen, you know what, I'm not going to be afraid. God doesn't want us to be afraid, and that's why he puts that scripture in the Bible. So this is the other thing, is that God made every one of us. And so whatever your voice in your spirit is saying, I mean, this is something that God made in perfection. And a lot of times we sit and we're deliberating over what God has told us to do, and we don't need to do that, because this is the same God who sits the moon up in the sky and the sun rises and falls every day and every night. And so, of course, I mean, if he could do all that, if we can sit here and breathe the air that he's created, and that's perfect, then certainly what he's put in us, which is himself, is perfect. So you just have to sit down, make your mind up, this is what I'm going to do. I don't care what nobody say. I don't care what nobody think. This is what God told me to do. This is what's in me. And birth that thing. And I have so many friends. I have a friend right now who just got her product in Walmart. I have so many people around the world, globally, that are calling me, listen, I made this bag of chips. You would be so surprised what people are doing, especially African Americans, what inventions. You know, there's a lot of inventions that we made that there's so many that were made that I don't even know. I didn't even know certain things were made by African Americans. But I'm telling you, some of the – I'm getting on Facebook. We're all on Facebook, right? And I'm going through I'm a part of a lot of Facebook groups like that you sell your product on or whatnot. And when I went on there the first time and I saw all these groups with all these people in it and all these inventions, it blew my mind. Even though I'm an author and I've created these books, I saw all the things people were doing. And so you just have to make your mind up that you're not going to let fear rob you of your life. And once you do that, you know, you'll be on your way. Things will come to you.
And you
so
know,
that's,
as you say
what
that,
I would say.
Hey, you know, as you say that along those lines, Sister Ebony, what made me think, and again, not wanting to stereotype or anything like that, because all ethnic groups of human beings can do, have different ones in that ethnic group
exactly.
that can really be that the humans can do. But as
exactly.
far as I do think that God, because he likes variety, I think we just see in how things have worked out over the centuries that certain ethnic groups do have certain strengths in a certain area of the group.
Right,
and we know
right.
that, you know, and again, not limiting it, but, you know, we're very
exactly.
limited when it comes to the physical stuff, you know, the sports and the dexterity, and with music and entertainment. But some and I have learned that over the years. When it comes to inventing, we are. That is one, and that's something
right.
I highlighted. No, we're just as good at inventions as we are at basketball. But it's
that's
just
right.
not being
that's
heard
right.
about. You know, when you get into
right.
history
right.
and see, like, the stoplight, I mean, just little everyday gadgets that have improved human life and brought us into modern era, you'd be amazed how many of African Americans created it, you know.
Right.
So that's,
right.
I'm really glad you're getting the word out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we shine in that. And, of course, you know, you're so right. I mean, no, every human, it's not about color at all. It, you know, it's not about race. Because all of us, we have God in us, and we're able to do all this, like, really do things that are miracles, signs and wonders, and create all kind of things. But I just think that, as far as fear is concerned, I just have to remind people, you know, especially, you know, African-American people that, listen, a lot of things that were created by African-Americans. So this is a time that we're in right now where your product will shine because you got social media, you got Facebook, you got Instagram, you got YouTube, you know, and as creative as a person can be. Listen, you want to talk about money rolling in, get creative because that's what's always worked. And so especially, again, like the time that we're living in right now, you can put something on Facebook and start your business. So, you know, it's all about making up your mind, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And you just move forward in that. Yeah. Amen.
And the other thing is believing in yourself. You know, there's faith in
that's
God.
Right.
But that's separate from believing
that's
yourself.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of people you can talk to. And I've even been in that season sometime in my life, and I knew it, but I couldn't jerk myself out of it. It's a lot of people who are confident personally. You know, you talk to them, they're confident. They have ideas and stuff. And they will even say that. You know, I'm a leader.
Right.
I'm bold. I'm confident. But they're not doing anything. And so, what is the gauge? There's two things. How do I gauge I really have understood the word of God I heard, number one? Number two, how do I gauge if I really believe in myself? The way you really gauge that is what you produce. I know
that's
what you know,
because,
not by how articulate you are. Yeah, go right ahead.
Right.
You take that.
Right, that's what I was gonna agree with you. I'm going to tell you, when you know you got something, I always hear this, revelation brings manifestation. So, I mean, we can all talk about what we're going to do, but until that thing is physically birthed into this earth realm, you know, we can talk about, I'm going to write this really good movie, but until that movie is birthed out on that paper, then that's the difference between a person that's talking it and walking it. And so we don't want to be somebody that's just talking. The Bible tells us to be hearers and doers of his word, of his will, of whatever your purpose is in your life. And so that you're exactly right about what you're saying. And, of course, you got to believe in yourself. But you know, I know a lot of people who have problems believing, and they have self-esteem issues and confidence. I mean, we all have something, you know. But I just think God is so great because God comes in and he steps in. He says, okay, you know what, okay, so you got a problem believing in yourself, huh? Hey, you know what, how about you believe in me? How about you believe in me and focus on me, and then all you got to do is do what I'm telling you to do, and I'll do it for you. God just needs, he uses us to birth it, because he's not going to come down here and say, oh, okay, you know, he did that with Jesus. So he, you know what I mean? He doesn't have time to come down here and say, okay, Ebony, let me just jump in you and this. No, he's already there. And so all I have to do, literally, honestly, what I have done is listen. Like, God is the best business mentor. He will tell you exactly what to do. You got to listen because his voice is still and small. And so sometimes when you're sitting there watching TV, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm watching TV sometimes if I really get to do it. But when I am, I might hear God say something, or he might give me an idea. I might see something pop up in my head. It is so important to stop what you're doing at that moment and write it down, because you may not get it back. And those are ideas and inventions God has given us. And, you know, you got to move forward, because it could be that million-dollar idea. You can change the face of your family. You can change the financial status of your family by coming up with one great thing. I mean, it's just, I'm telling you guys, I can't stress to you enough the people that I have met just in this last 6 months, just from all over the world, media, TV personalities, people who have, you know, they're inventing stuff. It's just so neat, and you can do it. I can't stress that enough.
I received that. I mean, that was a penetrating, sharp arrow just went out. You can do it. That was thunder, and I really hope that people caught that. I really hope you had your baseball mitt out and you caught that one just now. You can do it. Boy, that was annoying.
You can do it.
Just, I'm telling you, it was very penetrating. Hey, we have a caller here, so I'm going to let the caller come on and introduce themselves and ask whatever question they have, okay? All right. Hello. Are you there, caller? Hello. Hello. This is your phone number ends in 3492. Are you there?
Yes, this is Joy calling from Baltimore. How are you today?
How are you, Joy? Good to hear from
you. Hi, Joy.
Hi there. I'm so excited to hear that you're on the show today. And yes, faith is strong, and I'm so happy to see that you are sharing it and that you are encouraging others who are endeavoring to walk in your steps and become authors, as I am also. So my question for you today is, I understand we need to get started, we need to get writing, and I would like you to tell us what prompted you to begin writing your books for children.
Thank you, Joy, for calling in. It's wonderful to hear your voice, and I just appreciate you. But what made me get over that point of, okay, I'm gonna stop talking about this, I'm gonna do it, and move into the children's book. You know, I remember writing my first book, In the Fire at the Beginning, which was a novel. And I remember having a book signing, and I remember there was a QA, there was questions and answers, and somebody said, well, what are you going to do next? And you know what I blurted out? You know, I'm going to write some children's books. I'm going to maybe win my parents' argue. I remember just saying that one specifically at that book signing. And then I remember maybe about 6 months. Listen, I was sitting there. I know this sounds totally crazy for some of you who don't have that relationship with God where you talk, where he talks and you're trying to find his voice, but he's not, you know, you're not sure that's him. But I was sitting there and God began to show me in my mind this character that all of the books are based on, Maya. And I didn't know how to, I didn't know how to illustrate, guys. I didn't know how to do this. I hadn't been to school for it. So I didn't know how to do it. And God said, listen, just make her out of circles and put the circles together. So I got some kind of rinky-dink program on my computer, on my desktop computer, and you know what I did? I sat there, and I started putting these circles together to where they looked like they were almost, it was good enough to go. It wasn't everything, but it was good enough to work. It looked presentable. Let me say it like that. I remember I sat there for a month until I got it to look right, and I really am not making this up. My family has taken a backseat to Maya, so they know Maya's a part of our family now. It's like I got five kids instead of four, but because I've spent so much time. But I'm telling you, in that month, I sat there and did it until it looked right. And let me tell you, I began to research, how do I publish this book, because I'm self-published. How do I do this? I didn't know how to get in touch with, you know, HarperCollins in New York. They didn't even know me. So I'm like, okay, I got to do this myself. These are all conversations me and God sat there and had. And I would just say I'm crazy myself if there wasn't 40 books sitting on that table right now with Maya in them. But that's exactly how it happened. And I remember I wrote my first book, and God said, you know what, just put it on Facebook. Just make a store and then just put it on Facebook. So I took some time to do that. And then, Joy, I began making books. I had about 5 or 6 of them. And I began to put them on Amazon and put them on Facebook. And then Will Smith's daughter, Willow Smith, I found a magazine where she had said one of my books was her favorite books. Now, here I am just making this stuff out of circles. I'm not in New York. I'm not a big-time illustrator. I'm not those things. This was really different for me. But when I saw that, let me tell you about, I was like, okay, wow, I got to pursue this. I got to keep it moving because people are getting these books. And so that's literally how I started. I then went back to school a little bit later because I wasn't confident in myself. I thought that the images could have been better. So I went back to school for a couple of years and learned how to put the faces on the character. And that's how that happened. So that's, I mean, honestly, how I got started writing children's books. Just going in there, trying it, just doing what God is saying, trying to see if it will work. And it did. So, I mean, today I'm here. So that's why my whole thing is sit down and try. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm so happy for you. And, you know, many characters have evolved. You know, Mickey Mouse didn't always look the way he does today. And
Right. Neither
does Snoopy from Charles Schulz, the Peanuts. They have evolved those characters. So, you know, that's great that you at least, you know, were ambitious enough to get started. And,
Right. You
know, look at you now. You know, all the kids love Maya books, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger and grow. And
Amen.
I'm so, so excited for you. So thank you for sharing that information with me.
Thank you, Joy. You're more than welcome.
Thank you. Yes, we appreciate you. Thank you so much, and God bless. Okay, Ebony, well, moving along right now, I wanted to ask you this. I saw that you had ran a post a little bit here recently about the girl who got accepted into the 8 Ivy League schools. And so I know that must have kind of piqued your interest and inspired you. So I wanted to ask you kind of 2 questions. Number one, how can parents and teachers accomplish that same goal with their children that they're teaching or they're raising? And the second question is, how do you train children to be happy and ongoing lifelong readers?
Okay, thanks, Misty. The first question, how as a parent, because I have 4 children myself, so how do you train your children into, I think, you know, what you're asking me is understanding the importance of education, you know, especially when it comes to reading. I don't know about anybody else, but listen, my kids, you know what I say around, they probably get tired of me because I remind them of the fact that there was a time when we could not read. we got killed for reading. We were in slavery, so we couldn't read. It's a blessing to be able to read. It's a benefit to be able to read. So I just think it's very important that we stress, and we got to start this when our babies are 2 and 3 years old. We got to pump them up about going to school or going to college, even if they go for a trade, stuff like that. We have to pump them up with confidence, boost their self-esteem, because as these babies grow up, then they start going to school, and unfortunately public schools is so much stuff going on in public schools, and then there's so many other kids and so many other influences that are influencing our children. So I really think it's very important to stay in our kids' ear, especially in regards to education, especially into reading, and just, you know, let them know how smart they can be. Show them people in the past, you know, who created things, and they became this. Even like the girl that I posted on there, I mean, she's an inspiration to many. Because, again, there was a time you couldn't get into college. You know what I mean? Things have changed so much. And I constantly stress to my kids how important it is to take advantage of these opportunities, because there were people who didn't have those opportunities. So we have to, you know, I always tell them all the time, like, there is no excuse to not get up and do something and be good at what you do, because it's too many opportunities out here now. It's just, and let's make it fun. You know, and so that's pretty much what I would say, you know, as far as, you know, teaching your kids that. And then lifelong readers, again, just stress the importance of reading, what it does. I mean, I may never go to, you know, I don't know, Dubai. I'm going, but let me just use this for example. I may never go to Dubai, but I can certainly read about it. I can know what's in Dubai, because when you read, you're building that muscle. And the more you read, the more you're going to know. And so that's what I try to tell my kids. You know, I try to stress the importance of, you know, hey, listen, educate yourself, because it's nobody else's responsibility to do that for us. You know, especially when we get to a certain age. And so, I mean, from wee little kids, I've been telling my girls, listen, let's remove excuses. You guys, you know, build your muscle. And so that's pretty much what I've done, you know, as far as, you know, my kids are concerned. And then the other kids that I see, I work with a lot of parents and teachers, and they are just making education fun, which is one of the things my kids, you know, that's what we do. We want to make education fun for these babies. We want to listen. If it means putting just a little bit of hip hop music instrumental behind one of my books as they're reading, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go and do whatever I can to reach these babies. And if I'm boring, if I'm this way and I'm that way, you know, hey, they got a lot of friends in school that can pique their interest better than me. So I just have to, I have to stay young in terms of, you know, even in creating, you know, the books. And I have to sit there and come from a mind that the mind of a child sometimes when I'm making these books, because, you know, I'm almost 40, so I might see something different than they see. So it's just real important to stay. You have to be able to be an adult, be a parent, be a teacher, but you got to be able to get down on their level too, because, you know, that's important to them. And so that's pretty much what I would say, in regards to, you know, that.
Yeah. And when you talk about the whole lifelong aspect of it, I think that it goes back to our key verse for this topic today, helping people through reading and writing, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. To me, that verse speaks of prioritization. And once you get into being an adult, even if you had educators that made learning fun as a child, yet once you become an adult in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, 70s, if you live to be 80 or 90, you know, how do you keep that alive? And I think it becomes at that point when, you know, you're not necessarily having to be in a formal learning environment. It becomes what your priorities are. Because I was just talking last night about how some things I've been forced to have to self-teacher lately on the computer, because it's a lot of these things, products you buy now, they don't have a customer service department with human beings. You have to use their tutorials. If that doesn't work for you, you can get on the World Wide Web and try to find some tutorials. But you have to teach yourself, and it is painful. It's painstaking until you figure it out. But I'm kind of grateful once I learn it, you know. And so it becomes, you have to make it a priority once you become grown. I got to keep reading books. I got to keep learning things. Because if you don't, you get so caught up in life. Yes.
Yeah, you know, one of the things you know, I do is I'm a digital media specialist, so I know a lot of about digital media, the you know, making videos, stuff like that, making websites, things like that, publishing books. I had to learn this software, Adobe Creative Cloud. I had to learn how to do Photoshop and all those things and Adobe Illustrator. And let me tell you, there's no way I can do what I do if I don't continue to educate myself, whether that's going on YouTube, and because technology is always changing. So we can't sit on, like, not on logs and while it's changing, and then we don't. Even for our kids, we have to not be afraid to dive into the computer and put our password in and get in there and learn how to check our email and that type of thing, because our babies are going to be able to speak to the thing, you know, speak to the computer, open up my email. They're moving light years ahead of us. And so we have to stay on top of things, you know, in that regard as well. So, yeah, you got to keep educating yourself, because, you know, who else is going to do that for you?
No one, because no one cares about that, you know. Right. And they're trying to take, you know, trying to just make it themselves from day to day. Now, I had two financial questions for you, and I want to make sure we got to this today.
Sure.
Now, the first one is, I know you've been studying up on how you can help more people. That's where your compassion is at, your heart is to help. And, of course, as it relates to business, it takes money to be able to help people in the world we live in. So I know that you've been looking into deeper into the realms of how money is made. And so I know that you're right in the midst of that right now. So, you know, you may not want to share everything, but if you could share a couple nuggets about what you've already learned. That's the first question. You know, how is money made, you know? Beyond just going to a job and getting a check, you know, how is money made?
The second
financial question is, you're a Christian. How does tithing fit in with being able to prosper and be successful financially?
Right. Great questions, Missy. The first thing is this, and I want to say this. I'm glad you asked the questions you did, because I did see where JCPenney's is supposed to close down, and I see where Payless is supposed to close down, and a lot of the big companies that were really big deals, those are dinosaurs now, they're closing down. Well, of course they're going to close down when they got places. You got places now like Amazon where you can go, and I can go to, you know, I can go to JCPenney's and buy something from JCPenney's that's going to cost me $50, but then I can get on Amazon.com and buy something that same thing might cost me $6. So, you know, that type of thing, when that's happening, people are getting over their fears of ordering. I would rather pay $6 than I would $50. I don't care how much money I got. So I'm going to go on Amazon and buy something off Amazon and have it shipped to me quicker than I'm going to go to the store now. And so that's what's happening. I don't know if you got, if you know, you listeners on the phone, if you know that that's what's happening, but anybody right now who has anything, that you know, you want to have your e-commerce set up, meaning you want to have some product online, there are a lot of stores online that you can do a 7 or 14 day trial on and just kind of see how a store works for you. Wix.com is another website that you can go, and I'm getting technical here. I want to just kind of dive into this real quick. There's a website called Wix.com, W-I-X.com, where you can go in there and make your own website. It's literally just creating an account with your email address and putting in the information. So they pretty much do all the work for you. You know, just for example, say you want to create a garden business and you want to sell plants. There's so many different ways you can do it. You we all have cell phones because we're on Facebook posting pictures and selfies of our faces. But if we would take a picture of those plants, you know, and put those plants on there and say, okay, this is for sale, you know, you'd be amazed how many people are interested in what you're doing, no matter what it is. You can sell fire extinguishers, and people will be like, wow, let me get one. So it's really important to put, you know, get your product, get it online right now, and then because these stores are closing, and you need to have your product out there because nobody's going to buy what you haven't produced. And so
I hate to interrupt you. That was another, go ahead.
No, you're fine. You have to put, we have to move over and change the way we're doing business here because our world is changing. And so you have to, you know, move forward and take the step of faith and put your actual product out on the market and just see how it goes and run testers. One of the things I've been learning about, because you asked me about, you know, the different ways to make money. And let me say this, what I've been learning about, the whole thing about making money online, everybody wants to do it. Everybody's dream is to put a product out there and then you wake up in the morning, you got $50,000 in your account. Not saying that doesn't happen, but that's, when that happens to you, like that, you're a highly favored person. You got a great product. Something just happened. But a lot of people do start a business, and you have to stick with it. Anything you do, you're gonna have to stick with it. So you start your product on there, and you know you're getting your word out. You're starting on Facebook. If you got a Facebook account, start there. Go to Wix.com. Set your website up. Upload your product. Then you get that. Then you link your website, the product website, on Facebook and share it with your friends. And then from that step, because I've made a lot of money just sharing books online. One of the things God told me about Facebook was, you know, there's over so many millions of people on there. So just put it on there. That's a great way to get the books out there. And you want to be able to talk to your clients. You want to be able to talk to parents and teachers and still keep that relationship. So, you know, Facebook has been really good to me. I've been able to I don't work a regular job. I've been able to create income for myself stably every month, and every month it grows. And so the more I get out there and I market it, the more people are buying it. They're telling their friends, they're tagging their friends. And so, you know, it works, guys. I'm telling you it works because I do it. And, again, you can go to MayaKids.com and see a lot of products that I offer. Those are just some of them. But I do this every day, all day. I'm learning about Facebook ads. If Facebook's ads, you can start with $2, anywhere from $2, and you can put $50 on your account, you put $75. Those Facebook ads, those really work, because what happens is I can sell, you know, Misty, you're one of my Facebook friends. You see me posting the books all the time, and you know what? You may not buy them right now. You might share it, but you see them all the time. So you're seeing it all the time, and you just haven't bought it yet. But, you know, I can put a Facebook ad out there, and then we can go send it to somebody. Sarah can see it, and Sarah can buy it straight off. So those Facebook ads extend your network. That's the most important thing, people, about selling a product online. You want to make sure that you are extending your network, because you can't just keep selling to the same people. I mean, you can, but they might not buy it. So at some point they will, because marketing is all about, okay, I'm going to keep on posting this product, even if it looks like I'm getting on your nerves. You can't care about that. You got to just keep on posting your product. You just got to keep on doing it, because marketing is all about, okay, if they keep on seeing it, eventually they're going to buy it. I think about Arby's commercials, come on, and I don't have like Arby's, but, man, they get those commercials on there about that beef, and I get to looking at that, and I'm like, you know what, next time I go drive it, I'm going to go get some Arby's, and that's how that works. I go get it. It works. They do it to all. Look, the people with these other businesses, JCPenney's been putting ads on TV, and we see it, and then we go get it. And so that's what you have to do. You have to use your network of friends and families starting off, you know, put your product up there, get it out, get to sharing it, you know, and then start from there. And then the other way I learned to make money is through YouTube. Listen, you can use your if you got an iPhone, if you got a Samsung, you can make videos all day long on YouTube. And, you know, you can really – I have a client right now that is making so much money on YouTube. You guys, listen, when I say cashing $10,000 checks every month, and they're not doing anything. They're going on there making jokes, you know, doing a little silly stuff. You'd be surprised what kind of following you have if you just put yourself out there. But the way YouTube videos work is every so many clicks, then you get paid. And so, again, I had a client that went in there and cashed a $10,000 check last month because they consistently just keep doing videos. And just consistency is important in sales. And so you might not have a good day one day, but the next day you might sell this. And so YouTube, any way to get your product or your book out there, your voice is important. And so you really have to command your place out there in the social media market, and people need to know that you have an online presence, and they will come to you. And that's what I would pretty much say.
Sure. Well, and you know, and I guess I'm maybe asking you to go too far into the future, but do you think a time may come where we no longer have brick and mortar stores anymore, and it all shopping is all, well, I guess food you'll always have to be able to go buy, you know.
Right.
There'll always be something where you got to have a physical store. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we're going to always have some physical things, but, I mean, listen, like my overhead, let me say it like this, because I've had a store, okay, and so I had to also pay overhead at my store, right? So the thing about it is I pay overhead at my website online, but it's not nowhere near as that rent was. That, you know what I'm saying? It's nowhere near what I was paying. It's nowhere near, you know, what I was paying there. And so you save a lot of money not having that overhead, and then you can just ship stuff out. So, you know, that's why companies are moving more towards, you know, having e-commerce and doing things online, because, you know, it's just it's a lot easier that way. You save a lot of money. But I do think that some of the stores are going to always be around, just because, you know, there's people that will never buy anything online. They'll never do that because they're not comfortable with that. They're going to go to the store. So
sure. Now, as far as getting the supernatural involved with all your natural efforts, you know, again, we got to do the work, okay? You don't work,
right,
you don't
right.
eat. God said, you, from the book of Genesis, after the fall, you will earn a living by the sweat of your brow. So, again, we don't want to sell fantasies on here. I think one of the biggest untruths that's out there with motivational speakers and some preachers is if you find your dream job, if you find what you really have purpose to do, it'll be like you're not even working ever. You'll do it every day.
No.
That's a lie. I don't care
how
passionate you are
right.
about it. There is a work element that ain't fun to get to the passionate part
right,
every day.
Right, right, right. I stand with you on that, because I have, no, you know, one thing you did ask me, and you know, with the last question was about sowing and tithing and how that ties in, and that's exactly how it ties in, that you can definitely, you know, you make your product, but yeah, you know, the Bible says the first thing we do is we want to tithe, because that's what we owe God, and then tithing over the amount, you know, I can't tell you how many times I walked, you know, I went somewhere, and, you know, I had to tithe, and God took, you know, he took my money, and I want to say he tripled it. Or sometimes when me and my husband have tithed it somewhere, and immediately when we walked out of that church house or that building or whatever, you know, wherever we donated, there was a phone call that said, hey, listen, I heard you do this, and I want to sign you to this and this and this. We have had those things happen. And so that's where the supernatural, you know, the greatness of God comes in, that, you know, you have to have somewhere that you're sowing and tithing in, because it just works like that. Like it works. I'm still amazed at how God is able to, you know, he just does things. But You know, it is so important to tithe, and because when you do that, you're showing God that you're showing faith, and God is moved by faith. You know, listen, sometimes I don't know that, you know, he's not moved by some other things, but what I know he's moved by is, and so when you show faith and you take that first step, because that's what he tells us to do, then he comes back and he multiplies it. There's no way I could have been in business as long as I have been and have not sold and tithe, you know, to see the outcome, but, you know, to see results, because it's worked for me. So I would say to anybody, definitely, you know, you want to do two things. You know, again, we're back to being a hearer and a doer. So this is what God said. And excuse me, he wants us to live kingdom. You know, tithing is a kingdom principle. And so, excuse me, you know, we can be Christians and walk around and say we do these things. But listen, what you do secretly, God certainly does reward that openly.
Amen. And I thank you for that encouragement, and you'll have to do it a million more times. All the preachers will have to, all the pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, because we have to pound that like a hammer. We have to remind ourselves all the time, and we have to remind, well, once you do it and start doing it consistently and you see the results and how the supernatural comes in on top of your natural, then you serve those tithes. And, you know, you don't have to hear it all the time because you know it works. But those who have not done it enough to, I'm talking about Christians, you know, you go to your average church, most people don't tithe. You know, they sit there and say amen every Sunday, they in the choir, and may be a good person, don't cuss,
well,
don't drink,
you know,
don't lie, but they just can't tithe. And so I
well,
thank
you know
for
what?
That encouraging people in that.
You know what? You know, one thing I do, you know, want to add in there. There's a lot of people saying a lot of stuff, and a lot of people, you know, listen, the issue is this. it works, and it's what God told you to do. So I always say to people, you know, tithing is not for the preacher, not for the pastor. Yes, it helps. I mean, I'm sure it helps. But, you know, I've been really close to in that role and to see what pastors go through. And let me tell you, sometimes people in the church ain't tithing enough to even pay the rent. So when that's not paid, that comes out of that pastor's pocket. I know pastors who don't even take they don't even take money when the people tithe. It goes straight to the church. They're not even taking a salary. So it's not about tithing. Tithing is not about the pastor or preacher and about giving to that person. The tithing is for us. Tithing, when I tithe, that's for me. Because God, when I do that, he shows me, boom, okay, boom, here you go. And he's my provider.
Amen.
And so,
amen.
You know, he makes provision for us.
That's right. That's right. Well, hey, our time is running short. I'm only getting through about half my questions, but that's good. That'll give us a reason to have another show. Okay? But I did have maybe one final question. Then we're going to have to round up here because there are a couple of final things we want to do because I'm getting ready to go to the Women of Color Expo here in Tulsa in a couple of weeks. And, of course, I have my own book, but I'm going to have Samaya there, which I know Maya's no stranger to Tulsa. Probably Tulsa's Maya saturated. I was kind of wondering about that, but I'm still going to take Maya with me because there's always new people, you know, to look at. So I want to talk about that a little bit. But before I did that, I had asked you a couple questions about the top three things, and you can maybe just kind of briefly run through these. When you started out, that you wish that you could have done, did better, and you wish, you know, if you had to do over again, you would do different. The top three things, and then the top three things that you thought you did right as a beginner when you started out with this business 10 or so years ago. So if you could quickly address those two questions.
Sure, sure. The top three things that I feel like I made a mistake on. You know, because I'm being honest with you, hey, I don't think about that very much. And my mind I don't function like that, I don't think. And the reason why I say that is because everything that I've done in regards to the book is exactly what God told me to do. So what it's been for me more or less is a learning experience. Now, I wish I would have had more mentors that were writing books. I wish I could have called somebody up and said, oh, okay, well, how do you do this and how do you do that and should I do it this way? But then I think about that, and I don't know if I would have had the same motivation and drive to find out how I do it. You know, how do you do this? How do you make this happen? So as far as, like, the mistakes that I made, I wish I would have had more mentors because I kind of had to figure out everything by myself, which is, like you said, it can be very painful. I don't know. I don't. I, and so I can't even think of I can't think about the mistakes. What has worked for me is just seriously being obedient and listening and just getting over my fears, just taking myself out of it. I literally have to take myself out of my kids every day and just remember it's for the kids. And so I'm trying to think of the mistakes that I've made, and I probably don't even know them because, you know, if that makes any sense at all, I probably don't even know what they are because I've been moving. Like, I've been moving and not having time to look to my left or my right or behind me. But, okay, boom, let me test try this. Let me test try that. Let me get Body Safety with Maya, which is one of my books. Let me go ahead and put that out there. And that's just, I'm serious, that's the way it's been for me. It's been trial and error. So I can't really say that. The top three things that work for me is just, you know what, making up my mind, being persistent, not giving up, just pressing every day. It's days when I get up and I don't want to look at my kids. And I have friends who, you know, can tell you that. I don't even want to see it. And I just have to keep pressing because I know that the weight of the children are on, I feel like it's on my shoulders. I feel like they have to get these books. And, you know, if one person can get Body Safety with Maya, then maybe that child won't get molested. I just feel like, you know, with these books, we have to empower children. So that's what's working for me. I just think it's the drive that I have, the motivation that I have to get out there and just, you know, there's a cause here, there's a purpose. And that gets me up and going every day. And so I don't know a lot about the mistakes. I just know what's working. And
there's no problem with that because that is definitely the route that a lot of people who are successful, that's the route for them. There are some people that live their dreams and reach success, and they can say, and you did mention the whole mentoring thing, and I want to get more in depth with you about that, and we'll do that the next time we talk about the mentoring. Mm-hmm. But I can see what you're saying, too, is that, you know, you're so busy majoring on what you got going for you, you know, that you're not spending time on what you know, I thought I might have messed up on or what I thought was not a good day. Because I'm always counting my good days, and I'm not worried about my bad days. You know, of course, you want to learn from your bad days, but I could see how that's how you get into depression or maybe end up not going anywhere because you're too busy focused on where you messed up instead of keep your mind on, well, hey, this and this and this went well. Let me emphasize that and keep my mind on that instead of what's going wrong. So that's great.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful we don't perfection it out because we can do that, you know, as humans. We can just want it to be so perfect that we don't ever end up doing it, you know. And I think it's important. I was thinking about that last night. I know I had this call today, and I just wanted to tell, you know, people that are out there listening, don't become so much of a perfectionist that you never get anything done. Because when you're at that place, you begin to, I'm not saying don't have the spirit of excellence and don't, you know, do really great things and make it look, you know, perform at your best. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that don't sit there and deliberate over things so much to where you don't get anything done, because then somebody's missing out on your story. And that story is the one that could save their life. It could stop them from committing suicide, or it can give them a fresh new hope that they need, you know, for the next day to get up. So, you know, very important.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, we're getting ready to round up here, and you're going to close us out in prayer, Ebony. But before you do that, I wanted you to share real quick. And as far as the expo and Maya being showcased there, I want everyone to know that we're going to get back together in 2 weeks on Saturday, April 22nd. That's the weekend before the Women of Color Expo here in Tulsa, so that we can talk shop and talk about, you know, what will be there, showcase that you can see and come out, touch the books, come out and speak with me. Ebony won't be there this time, okay? But I'll be able to talk with you. I could probably get Ebony on the phone if you want to talk to her. But anyway, Ebony, I'm sorry. I can't screw that on you just now. But anyway, we will be there Saturday, April the 29th for 8 hours, and I'll tell you the venue and everything whenever we talk on the Saturday the 22nd. But we'll be there from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and we'd love for you to stop by the table and chat with us, and you might even want to purchase something. But we'll talk about that then. But what I wanted Ebony to share with you is that if you are interested in supporting not only Ebony and what the great work she's doing with the children, but Misty Long and Devoted to Him Global Ministries Incorporated, I now have a portal on web. Not only do I have Ebony's books on my website, but I have a portal on her website where you can act. Well, you can go on her website and go to her store and purchase the books, and then there's a link that will be there that you can can use when you check out that will also give a percentage of the proceeds to Devoted to Him Global Ministries Incorporated. So, Ebony, you want to tell them a little bit about that and then just briefly talk about the vendor program that you have?
Sure. Thank you, Misty. What Maya Kids has now, and again, you guys can go to MayaKids.com, so that's MYAKIDS.com, and go on my website and just look around on there. Especially the program that I'm talking about right now it's actually an affiliate program, and so there's a link on my website that says affiliate, and you can go there and sign up to become one if you're interested. If you were to become an affiliate, you would make 20% of the commission. So that's a new program that I have. Every time somebody goes on there and checks out and uses your link, which Devoted to Him, Misty, you guys have a link. Every time you guys go to her, you can go to her Facebook page, and after the call, we'll go ahead and put that link on her page. But if you click that link and you go on there and you buy books, and it's linked to her checkout, the card. So when you buy those books, that's going to go directly to Devoted to Him Ministries. And so that's a new program that we have because we want to make sure that we are able to give back. There are some people who want to help Maya. They just want to be a part of it. They want to be an affiliate. And it's also an opportunity to make extra money, a little bit of extra income if you're wanting to do that. So and then we also have a vendor program where we actually have distributors going out now. Like I have different stores all around the country. Just recently talked to a guy from Chicago who has a bookstore, and so the Maya books we're working to get the Maya books in the stores. And so if you want to become a vendor, definitely get on the website and send me, my contact information is on there. Or you can send me a email at info@mayakids.com. And let me know you want to be a vendor because, I can't be at every place at one time. And the whole purpose is to get these books out to every home, to every church, to every community. And we're going to need your help to do that. So please go on MayaKids.com and, look on there and become a part of our program. And then absolutely go to Misty's page and click on that link and share that link with your friends because, there's enough out there for each one of us, and we can all help each other. So we want to definitely link up. Again, I said, mass network. I'm saying network with people because that's how you grow your business. So we have to help each other. But definitely visit MayaKids.com, and you can, find out everything about everything we've got going on. You can, find out about it there.
Amen, amen. And there's T-shirts and videos and always something new. So you really want to, it's the whole world of Maya there. You want to check that out. Amen.
So, amen. We're there for the kids.
Yes, most definitely. It's the children. We just saw what happened earlier this week with those poor kids in Syria. God, He loves the children. He said, Jesus said, suffer not the children to come to me. So we definitely, that is a tremendous ministry, Ebony, and you're to be commended for hearing the call of God on that and stepping out and sticking with it and staying focused and look what the beautiful things that are happening. So we appreciate
Amen.
It.
Amen.
So if you don't
Thank
mind
you,
just blessing us all with a word, if you got a word you want to say, and then close us out in prayer until next time. And when Ebony finishes praying, just wait a moment and we'll have the little outro song. It only takes a couple seconds and then we can all hang up. And God bless everyone. And I thank you for tuning in today to the Devoted to Him broadcast. And we will keep you posted. We have some exciting guests. We're going to have Ebony again and we have some other exciting guests in the coming weeks. And we'd love for you to participate and be with us.
Okay. Thank you, Misty. Again, I just want to thank you for taking out the time and letting me, come and be a guest on your show. I really appreciate it. I love coming on here. I love talking with you when we're not on the show, but I certainly love to share our conversation with others. My goal is always to help somebody and inspire somebody. And so you guys out there on the call, I do want to thank you guys for just tuning in. And I just want to say to that person out there that's, wondering what they should be doing, wondering about their purpose. I forgot to mention I have a book called The Time Is Now, Activating Kingdom Wealth in Your Life, which is a really good book to help you. If you're a person and you feel like you've been stuck, please go on my website. I have another website, ebonymoore.com. Go on there and order that book because it will certainly help you get up, and that's what we have to do. We got to get up. But I just want to inspire you guys today and just say, go ahead and start on that project. Don't worry about all the different things that could go wrong. Start thinking about things that can go right because you don't know if you have that next big thing. And you're not going to know if you don't try to get that thing out on paper. And to those of you that are actually that you have been doing this and you get a little depressed or stressed, it may not be, turning out the result like you want it to. Please keep going and press because that's what you have to do. You can't give up. And so let me close out in a word of prayer. I know I can hear God speaking to me, you know, just to pray certain things. And so, Father God, we just want to thank you for this time that you allow us to come together and really lift you up, God. We want to thank you that you love us enough, God, that you put a you put your spirit in us and you give us a drive to have be passionate about something, the different things on this earth, what to create and books to write, stories to tell. Lord God, we want to thank you, God, right now. We want to pray for, God, every caller and listener on this phone. Lord God, we want to thank you right now. We pray that you would touch them right there where they're at. Lord, we pray that they would touch their you would touch their minds, God, and move them into this place, Lord God, of being a doer. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Lord God, and we just come against any type of rejection that's been talking to them or speaking to them, anything that tells them they can't do it, anything in spirits that come to bring doubt, Lord, we just bind that up because it's not you, Lord. It's not what you said. Lord God, you told us that you didn't give us that spirit of fear, and we believe you. So, Lord, today we ask for a change for that person, Lord, that's been sitting in fear, Lord. We ask you that you begin to change their life right now at this very moment. Lord God, we ask that, Lord God, at night, Lord, we thank you that you're giving them such a drive, Lord, to fulfill their passion, Lord, such a drive to serve you, Lord, such a drive, Lord, that they can't talk about anything else, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We thank you that you are boosting their confidence to do this thing, Lord God, and you're giving them the strength to do it. Lord, we already know that your word says that you've given us the ability to create wealth. So now, God, we ask you to go deeper into our mind and help us, Lord God, see things the way that you do, to see it from your perspective in Jesus' name that we'll be used by you. Now, we give you glory, and we bind up struggle because we know that the struggle is over in Jesus' name. And as we carry out your will, Lord, things will begin to change for us in Jesus' name. Now, we thank you, God, because you're always, Lord God, you're always there. You've always been there, Lord. You're our provider, and we just can't live without you, Lord. We just can't do anything without you. So we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
You've been listening to Soaring with Eagles in Leadership and Excellence with your host, Misty Long, Director of Devoted to Him Ministries. Please visit our website, devotedtohim.org, and join us on Facebook at Devoted to Him Global Ministries. Join us next time on Soaring with the Eagles in Leadership and Excellence.